Are we from the NESB? Therefore, be on the alert or watch, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master is coming for a long time, and began to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour where he does not expect, which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with hypocrites, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent, wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give me some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But then the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts this morning.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the gifts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one whom you gave to the world as a propitiation, the only sacrifice that can take away your anger, your wrath, the one whom you've given to us, our Savior and our Lord. Oh, we confess of our weakness, our unseriousness. Many times we neglect him. We neglect your word. We neglect everything that we ought to be doing to get closer to him. But Lord, you have not abandoned us. You keep coming and giving us your spirit to bring us back to you. Oh, we confess, oh Lord, our slowness, our sluggish, oh merciful Father, to spiritual things. Oh Lord, we thank you for that grace that was revealed. A grace, amazing grace revealed in our Lord to train and teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Open our eyes to see our Savior as you did with Moses when you brought him up and you walked before him, declaring your attributes, that we also will see things about you, about our Lord. For you said that it is in his face that we can behold your glory. And so that as we open to your word, we will see him. And seeing him, we know we will see you and we behold your glory. As we go through your word today, hear his warning, the alarm bell ringing. Therein lies your glory. For when we listen to our Lord and hear him, we will see your glory. Help us, O Lord. Help young children, the teenagers, the adults, the elderly ones amongst us, the weak, the strong, the rich, the poor. Help all of us, O Lord. Unite our hearts that we may fear you and come with reverence even now as we come to pray. Oh, merciful Father, the world is getting darker, more wicked by the day. I will cry to you, Lord, who are in this generation, that you have mercy on us. Now our nation is ravaged by insecurity, and now the fear of the third wave of this virus. But Lord, whom do we have on earth, if not you, and in heaven, you alone? To whom are we going to turn to, if not you? So we pray for your mercy, that you keep your people at this difficult time, dark times, where there is famine on one side, there's hunger on the other side, there's killings and insecurity, and there's a fear of death closer to everyone. Everyone. Oh, Lord, protect us. Let's pray for your church to stand and do its work. That will be light at this dark times. It will shine out to the world, especially to the false gospels of our day, them to see that it is the Lord who is in charge and sovereign. And everybody will take this warning to be ready, to prepare to meet you. Help us, O Lord, that this alarm bell will ring and the church will stand. We, as a church here, as a local assembly, will stand and share and shine that light in our nation. We thank you for our sister that has put to bed. Thank you for how it all went. We pray also for the rest who are heavy. We've always trusted you. And out of your mercy, you've heard us. Not because we are special or anything, but your mercy has been abundant towards us. And our sisters are able to put to bed safely. We do not take any of these, O Lord, for granted, irrespective of any hospital they've been. Also pray, oh Lord, for those who are sick in their bodies, those who are struggling with the virus, whether here or outside, our friends, especially our friends in Zambia, are dying every day, oh Lord. Lusaka Baptist Church, Kabwata, all these churches running 2-3 burials a week because of the virus. Oh, merciful Father, they've not sinned more than us or anybody. Lord, that's pleased you to visit them. Lord, we pray, oh Lord, for mercy, that you hear their cries as they cry to you, not blaming anyone for their problems, but seeking your face to have mercy, to stay the hands of the destroyer that has come in their midst. And also our friends in South Africa and Kenya, pray for them, O Lord. Remember them for good and have mercy on them. Thank you for your mercies and grace. We pray that you truly help. Your word that will be shared will be edifying to everyone. That Christ will be glorified and his warning will be heard by all. Thank you, most gracious Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. This morning I will, God willing, help, God helping me, take us through the parable of the 10 virgins. The title of the sermon is Prepare to Meet the Lord. We'll be going through series of parable teachings for the next, I think, 2 or 3 months. And this is perhaps one of just those parables. And I hope that we pay close attention to all that will be shared. And I ask that the Lord will truly help us as we go through these messages. Turn with me to Matthew 25. And we all know the parable of the 10 virgins. A popular one, and must have heard a lot of sermons on it. 2 weeks ago, I brought a message on the exhortation of Christ in his second coming, his advent. And we did mention a few things there, that the Lord is coming for those who are waiting, eagerly waiting for him. Indeed, true believers are people known to be eagerly waiting for the Lord. And many texts of the Bible testify to this. So that last time, 2 weeks ago, when I brought this message, I did read from Hebrews 9:28, that it's coming for those who are looking forward to his coming. And also, if you read Philippians 3, verse 20, has the same thing. That idea that the Lord is coming for those who are waiting for him. That should not be taken for granted. He's coming for those who are eagerly waiting for him. Indeed, it's a true mark of a believer, a true Christian, or a Christian, if there's anything like that. A Christian is someone who is eagerly awaiting the coming of his Lord. And see, this waiting can only be seen in your level of preparedness. Your seriousness is measured by your preparedness. You can claim to be his all day. You can cry and do all. And some of us, yes, emotional in prayer. Some of us are busy with ministries. Some of us occupy offices in the church. We give, evangelize. Online, throwing theology, argument here and there. But you can still end up with all this as a foolish virgin. And that's why this is a very solemn, solemn message. If you are not prepared to meet the Lord, no matter how many things you think you are doing, you will end up a foolish virgin. How serious are you to meeting the one who you have professed all your life? You see, I'm sure you all are familiar with tournaments. When the country is bidding for a tournament, especially, let's say, the Olympics, they are given the hosting rights based on their ability to be prepared within a time frame. But you see, over time, even though they've been given that hosting right, observers will come around to check if they are serious about their preparation. And so at the end of the day, their level of seriousness determines if they really want to host the tournament. We've seen many nations lose hosting rights because they are not well prepared for that tournament. And so also we have with those who profess to be Christians. The Lord will test everything that you have professed. And one clear way of testing these things is to see if you are serious about waiting for him. On the Mount of Olives, and for you to really get into the parables in Matthew 25 and the rest, there's a context behind this parable. On the Mount of Olives in Matthew 24, our Lord started teaching his disciples about events of the last coming, of the end time, and his second coming, rather. And in his usual style, and also, parables were common in his own day. It was the custom of people to speak in parables to drive home point. So in Lot's usual style and the custom of his day, he used series of parables to drive home the point about his second coming. He told them many things that will come. For example, one of the things he told them was that the love of many will wax cold. If you turn to Matthew 24, verse 12 and 13, you will see the Lord mentioning some of the things that you will notice towards that last time. Now, the event the Lord mentioned in Matthew 24 has two events intertwined. One is about the destruction of Jerusalem, and also, in the same vein, he predicted about the end of the world. So one clear thing that he mentioned in that parable, in that discussion, was that the love of many will wax cold. But then in verse 36 and 37, the Lord added something a bit interesting to the second coming. Matthew 24, 36 and 37. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of God be. The day or the hour of his coming, no one knows. And I wonder why the Lord had made it so. Why will he keep the day and the date and the hour, the time from everyone? For whatever reason it might be, one thing is clear. No one can fool God. No one. And if the day is known, in my own human mind, I think heaven will be filled with hypocrites. For we do all what we like, checking our calendar by the day. And if it's a day to the day, we change and hang in there for under 12 hours for that day to come. I speak like this from the human side. We know that you must be regenerated. But then, get the idea. You can't fool the Lord. And so, he gave a solemn command. Watch. Be awake. Be alert. That word there is an imperative. It's a command to watch, to be awake, to be alert, for you do not know the day the Son of Man will come. Be always prepared to meet the Lord. That's the mentality the Lord is driving. Be always prepared to meet him. For who amongst us we know that a thief is coming to his house and not be ready? Who? During the answers, we heard rumors that there's this group called A Million Boys, and men started doing vigils, even though we never saw any. That's the idea. Watch. The point of all this is that we should take the Lord seriously. Take his coming seriously. Many are not. And in the days of Noah that we saw in the example in verse 37, that's what happened. They just didn't take Noah seriously. I'm sure some would have made a mental note. Okay, I'll come, but I have a wedding. So they took seriously everything except the warning that Noah brought. Their family issues, social events, business, life, family lives, careers, businesses. Every other thing was taken more seriously than the judgment to come that Noah was warning of. And that's why the Lord likened it. They were busy eating and drinking. That's a figurative way of saying life was just going on. And the ark was there. Nobody signed the form because they didn't enter the first day. There was no intent to join Noah to come. And the Lord said for us, in the days before the flood, we were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all. So also would be coming of Son of Man. Be ready, our Lord says. Be ready, for no one knows when he's coming. The uncertainty of the day of his coming means we must be ready daily. And that's the point of the whole parable that Lord told. The uncertainty of the day of his coming. But see, this matter is even more serious. Because you can't tell someone outside the church to be ready for his Lord. They don't care about him. They don't know him. And they're not expecting him anyway. And so it means all of this is told to who? Believers. This is for Christians. Those who have called themselves believers. It means this command is for people in this room listening to me. It's for those who profess to know him and claim to be his own. Many in the church will be found out as foolish virgins, false Christians who are just following the crowd. And it could be you hearing me this morning. It's sad, but it's true. For the Lord to address his disciples like this, for Matthew 24 was not to the crowd, was to his disciples. Tell us the sign of the coming, they said to him, and started the discourse. So if he could address his disciples like this, none of us is exempted. So whether you are a deacon or an elder, Sunday school teacher or a ministry leader, we are all called to watch and be alert. Guess who was among the people listening to the Lord at this time? Judas. Judas was there, and we know how he ended. So to drive home this point, the Lord told three parables, each highlighting the need to be alert and to watch. And see, get the how parables work. Parables were said or were given in response to something. The parables were told to explain something. And so they were given so that we can see the need to be alert and the need to watch. Each parable, there are three around this text. Each parable showing, you see the parable showing contrasting lives of those who were watchful and those who were not. This parable also will show you the consequences of not watching. And the consequences of those toying with their eternity because of their unpreparedness. And the lack of watching your life and assessing the state of your soul for the coming. But more importantly, these parables shows what watching means. If you want to know what it means to watch, the three parables, the end of Matthew 24, Matthew 25, 1 to 13, then 14 down, you see what it means to watch. If you look closely at them, you will see what it means to watch. They are the examples of what it means to obey the command of God, of Christ, about being alert and being watchful. I will go through two of the parables, one today and God willing, and that one next week. Today I will be going through the parable of the 10 virgins. The other one next week will be the parable of the talents. And God helping us, we will see, we'll go through them. But then let me tell you a bit about parables. Parables are told by the Lord to drive home one main point. One main point. Even though sometimes there might be other subordinate points around, but there's one main point in mind when he wants to bring, when he brings a parable. Parables are earthly stories with spiritual meanings. And that meaning is always a striking one. It serves as a wake-up call to the hearer. So I know many people have gone through this parable of the 10 virgins. Many have allegorized and have different interpretation. The oil, the lamp, the virgins. But I'm going to stick to just one main point. One. And then perhaps draw two other subordinate points around the parables. So join me as we dive into the first century setting. First century wedding setting to see how did they understand this parable, understood this parable, the disciples that listened to the Lord. How was the wedding then? Why did they have to carry wine, an oil or a lamp? In those days, when before a wedding, there's an engagement, as we have also in our own time. But when there's an engagement, or they call it betrothal, it is a binding one, like you have Mary and Joseph, binding. But then after the engagement, the man is given a year, minimum a year, to go and prepare a home. And I wish our parents can give us that time now. A year, some 2 years, to go out there and get a job. Your wife is secured. Go get a job. Sort out yourself. Brothers, don't come to me when you don't have a job. But that's the idea. So the groom goes, enough time to get ready for a home and a family. And then the bride remains in the parents' house all this while. And when it's time, when it's ready, a time is fixed. And then the bride gets her bridesmaids. Bridesmaids, and they all come to meet the groom. Now, the wedding doesn't hold in the house of the parent of the bride. It is in the house that the groom has found. They get their virgins, and these virgins are the closest friends, bridesmaids as you know them, of the bride and the groom. They are the inner circle people, people that are known to two of them, friends, people who are supposed to be well-wishers, inner circle people who are chosen to be part of this train. And then there's a designated place where they will meet. And from there, they take a procession and go to the house, the new place where the groom has found. Most times, the groom is coming out of town. And so, most often, the groom delays. Often. And the virgins knew. They knew that there is a 90% chance that there will be some delay. And so, it's common knowledge that there's always delay. Now, the lamb is not for them to see in the dark. The lamb is part of the ritual for the procession. If it was for the dark, then each virgin can tag along with another one to see. But it was for the procession. And so sometimes the groom can delay 1 hour, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes 5 hours. No one knows. But he most likely will delay. And so when the groom is coming, someone is assigned to stay outside town to put ears down. When the groom is coming, that person is run out to inform the bride and the virgins. And the groom is coming. They quickly meet him. They form their procession and they walk to meet with the groom where they have decided, they've planned to meet. Remember I said that the wedding will take place at the home, the new place that the groom has taken. And that's why if you read verse 11 of Matthew 25, you will see that it is the groom that locked the door and said, "I do not know you." If it was in his father's house, he can't do that now. In verse 25, look at what he said. They said to him, after the virgin came and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." The foolish virgin said, "But the Lord said, I don't know you. I don't know you." The ceremony takes place at the house of the master of the house. And that master of the house is the groom. The lamb, just like this, my hand. It's very small with a wick and a small oil. But the extra jar is as tall as this. Can refill the lamb 3 to 4 times. Something small. It will cost them nothing to carry that extra oil. Nothing. They can refill 3-4 times. If it takes 5 hours, with that small lamb, they are good to go. Because the lamb is so small, just like my hand, that they use those days. What you see is pure negligence and unseriousness from the foolish virgins, that they did not carry extra oil. You see, parables are meant to shock people. It is most unlikely that a groom will send away his virgins. So for those first century hearers, they will be shocked. And this is to tell you that this is not as in the world. The kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of the world. It's most unlikely. Even if they are careless, they are your friends. you just pat them on the back and say, next time, do well. Or tag along with those who have oil in their lamps. But the Lord showing them a story that they are familiar with and now twisting it and say, but the kingdom of God is different. And that's why this parable is very striking. Those listening at that time will be so shocked that for what oil? They will not make the wedding. They prepared the whole year for this wedding. But then as we see, that preparation was put to test at the final hour. You know that will come late. I'm sure they must have thought to themselves. And now they refuse to bring with them oil. Let me draw a few parallels from this parable and the kingdom of God. The groom coming is like our Lord also coming to pick and coming to take his bride. He had come to engage us the first time, paid our ransom with his blood, and his engagement is binding, meaning he's coming again. Nothing can break. He's coming back to pick his church. A place has been prepared. Remember the Lord said in John 14 verse 1 that he has prepared a place for us. And he's coming. He's going to prepare a place for us. And he's coming back to pick us. A feast is coming, called the marriage supper of the Lamb and his bride. And also a day of reckoning is coming, where everyone will be gathered, hoping that they will be admitted to that wedding. But that day, many false Christians will be exposed. That day will be for those prepared alone, those ready, daily, waiting for their groom. Are you prepared to meet your Lord? What about the cry? The cry of that day is not the gospel cry. That cry is the sound of the coming of the Lord. For some of us, it will be death. For some, it will be the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. For when that cry came, there was not enough time for them to get ready anymore. Once the cry comes and you are foolish, it will be too late for you to sort yourself out. If you're not prepared for him now, the last day or the day of death will be no different. Will be no different. Your unseriousness will catch up with you on that day. There's no time to arrange your clothes and prepare your heart when death comes most often. So when the cry comes, there will be no more opportunity for you. The fear of judgment, the lack of unpreparedness will destabilize you. You see people when they are about to die in an accident, oh, they say, Lord, save me from the accident. Not for the judgment to come. You're not prepared. Your mind is not fixed to eternity. So even when they are about to die, all they cry is, save me from this danger. As they've asked all their life for food, clothing. No one is prepared to meet his Lord. No one. It's like these people who are foolish virgins. Confusion will overwhelm you. I tell you. Have you heard people? They're dying bed. You are telling them, repent. And they say, you can't forgive me. I've done too bad. Confusion will come. Shame. Regret. All that will come. They will tell you God can't forgive them anymore. You know why? They've not exercised themselves all their lives in seeking the Lord and receiving his atoning grace. But it will be worse for you who have been in the church every day. It will be worse. It will be worse. I know we live in a time where, at a time where death is flying around. COVID taking people every day. Insecurity in our country. Every Nigerian should be ready to meet the Lord. You travel, whether you are an army general, you are a common man, they could just attack you and kill you. Judas was sad when he saw the Lord, but he couldn't repent. He was overwhelmed by sorrow
and killed himself. He can't, because his mind has never been there. He didn't know that before him was the one who could forgive him. If you're not prepared now, you won't be prepared on that day. Trust me. You won't be prepared on that day, that death will come, or the Lord will come. Most times, death comes suddenly. Suddenly. You go to bed, and you don't wake up. You're on the road, and a stray bullet. Before you know it, you're gone. What are the lessons from this parable? The one main point I want to bring out, I'm sure I've mentioned it many times, is the unpreparedness and the unseriousness of the foolish virgins. They could have just carried extra oil, that's it. But you see, it sounds easy, but it shows they didn't value the groom. They knew he was coming from outside town. They knew there was a big chance he would delay, but they just didn't care. They were presumptuous and careless. And this is the mark of a foolish, pretending, false Christian. No matter how long they spent in the church or which office they occupy in church, they are never prepared to meet their Lord. Never. The foolish virgin lack of unseriousness and unpreparedness shows in the way they regarded the groom on that day. That was his special day. And you couldn't wait for me an hour, like the Lord told the disciples. An hour or two. Carry an extra oil. And so, their unpreparedness and seriousness is the key thing in this parable. The Lord of the house said, I do not know you, not because he has not seen them before. No. He has seen them before. He knows them. But there's no deep relationship with them. Cognitively, yes, I know that you are my friend. You claim to be my friend. But when rubber meets the road, are you my friend? Their own seriousness was displayed in the way they did not prepare for the most special and precious day of the groom. They came knocking, hoping that he would remember the good old days. Open for them. They were planning to ride on those good old days, but it was too late. My friends, my brothers and sisters, such is the kingdom of God, that no matter how close you think you are, if you are not in, you are not in. If you are not in, you are not in. And it's sin. It shows in your seriousness with the things of the Lord. It shows daily. You can see it. You know you are not serious. You know yourself. They knew they didn't carry an oil. They knew. They just thought they could write it out. Mr. Presumptuous. If you read Pilgrim's Progress. Sit on your hands and think things will happen. Hear what Apostle Paul told Timothy. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall live with him. If we endure, we shall reign also with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2, 11 or 13. Some of you have come here and are hoping that you have escaped false preachers of our day. But that's not good enough. You must get acquainted with the master of the house. It is not good enough to run away from the false gospel of our day and come to a church where you think truth is preached. You must know the Lord and have a personal relationship with him. You must take him seriously. You must take his commandments seriously. You must take his laws seriously. The means of grace seriously. You must take all these things seriously. These are signs that you are waiting. How many of you are like this to the Lord? How many of you take anything Christ seriously? How many of you are riding on good old days? I used to be this and that. You're not checking yourself now. Some of you are here, perhaps, listening this morning. You're just here following the bandwagon. You have to be warned. Are you watching? Are you at last? The gospel is the invite they all got to be among the bridegroom. But that's all. Yes, you have been invited to come and believe in the Lord. But then what do you do with him? You must take his word seriously. You must know him and commune with him daily. Be alert. Be ready. Prepare to meet the Lord. Be always prepared to meet the Lord. And you see, I've answered the question I wanted to ask. How do I prepare to meet him? You might ask. It's simple. Take everything seriously. That's all. His word, his commands, his the means of grace, your attitude towards the things of God is key. It's key. See, you can give all that you have to the poor. You can do all the ministry in the church. You can give your body to be burnt for his sake. But you have love. You have no love. You have nothing. Your love for his word, your love for his commandments, your love for his people must be taken seriously. You can fake every other thing, but you can't fake that one. You can't. And repent. This parable is for those closest to him in that sense. Inner circle people. You know your wedding. Who were your bridesmaids? A stranger on the street? So we all should be warned. Repent. Check yourself. Depend if you have not been taking the means of grace seriously. Your devotions. Spiritual growth. Some of you, we beg you to come to prayer meeting. We beg. Send SMS. Check on you. Check on you. After a while, you say they don't check on you anymore. Who are you fooling? Will the Lord judge me for not checking on you that you are not coming to prayer meeting after the 17th time? The wise virgin gave, I do not know if that advice was a wise one. Go and fetch. Did the Lord blame them? Why did you send them away? No. Prepare to meet him. We beg. Come, come. And see, if you are the ones that they beg for that, can't you see that you are showing signs of a foolish virgin? You're not taking anything seriously. Repent. And some that attend everything, but no change. And I'll talk about that one next week. No change. You just sit down there and you attend all, but no results. And you are okay. Take your life seriously. Please. We have eternity ahead of us. Some young boys asked me yesterday about the body, our body, lost body. The young girl, I think she's 14, she was shocked that her body will be changed. My body, she's fair, looking good. I said, read Philippians 3:21. And she heard, the Bible said, our lowly body will be transformed to his glorious body. She was shocked. She said, do you still want to hold on? She said, no, I don't want to hold on to this anymore. And so when your friends say, join the bandwagon, just follow those men so they can take care of you. You say, no, let this body suffer, for a glorious one is coming. Take everything seriously. How many of us are like this? You can't sit still and be happy that, oh, I'm here, I'm doing fine. No. Inner circle people. I'm afraid for myself. I know about assurance. I know. And this parable is about human responsibility. It's not about the sovereignty of God in salvation. It's about your responsibility. For he said, watch, be at alert. He didn't say, don't worry, I'll keep you. He said, watch. and gave them parables to warn them. We need to be careful. We must take him seriously. We must take him seriously. And check your life. Do I have the mark of a foolish virgin? Let me show you that point from the parable. That's my main point, where I think the main point was. The other point that came, that you can see from the parable, is that the church is always filled with wise and foolish professors. It's a standard, not church. A membership of the church is always filled with both wise and foolish virgins, or Christians. False Christians will always find their way into the church membership. The devil always plants the tares among the wheat. And sometimes, see, it might be due to the carelessness of the elders. Yes, an oversight. They just overlook some things. And sometimes they are just human. They listen to your testimony and they admit you in. And some can give the right words, pretend and say all the lingos as needed. But no problem. The Lord of the house will fish them out. When the groom arrives, they will be fished out. But you should not allow yourself to be fished out on that day. Fish yourself out now and cry. I think I would rather say, Lord, help me. Help me. If you have deceived your way and entered into the membership and entered into the group and people think you are a Christian and are not, don't wait till you are fished out. Come out and call. Get your oil. Be ready. Prepare. Prepare for his coming. You don't want to perish like this. The other point I will bring is the foolishness of the foolish virgin. So, the church is always filled with wise professors, wise and foolish professors. But also from the parable, you will notice that you can sense the foolishness of the foolish virgins. And I don't know if you noticed their foolishness. The word there, called the word foolish there, is from the Greek word moros, where we got the word moron from. And our word moron means to be dull and slow and blockhead. That's what it means. And so people who fall under this category of the foolish virgins are people who are dull and slow in the things of God. They are never lively to spiritual things. And I'm sure they are not slow and dull to their careers. They are not slow and dull to their businesses. Every other thing, they are smart to leisure. But when it comes to the Lord, they are dull and slow. That's the foolishness of a foolish virgin. Slow to grasp the word of God. Never serious about prayer. Never serious about worship or devotion to God. You can sense sometimes their dullness and their spiritual dullness in the way they dress, in the way they go around. And some come to church, they walk themselves to death on Saturday. They come to church on Sunday, they are sleeping. How dull can you be that you are before the Lord and you are sleeping? And it happens all day, every Sunday. You come to the Lord's house tired. Check yourself, my brother, my sister. Imagine you are before the president of this country and just 10 minutes into the meeting, you are sleeping. It shows you are not prepared to meet him. It shows that you are not ready. Or you go for a business deal. You've flown to America or the UK and you land at the meeting for a business deal and you are sleeping. Right there for the investors. Foolish virgins are not fervent spiritually. Check yourself. Watch. Be alert. Are you usually bored by the word of God? Do you prefer activities? Some just come to church to do BCM and do activities. And I'm going to say this very gently. A brother that is roasted, that has the roster for people going outside. A man in 8 weeks Don't let it be your practice to be there always. Out there at the door. It's good, but you will not grow checking cars. So I'm going to tell him, one person, the next time you come out, 8 weeks. Let's go around. Put me if I'm not preaching. We all must be here to hear his word. And if the preacher is boring, and if I'm boring, tell me. I will spice it up a bit. But I will not draw down the word of God. Maybe I'll eat before I preach. Watch and be alert. Ensure that you are taking everything about the Lord seriously. Are you here to network? Are you here to just meet people? Watch your soul. Are you becoming indifferent to prayer meetings, to prayers, Bible reading? These are signs of a foolish virgin. Your seriousness to the things of God, your interest in growing in faith, in love, in holiness, and other fruit of the Spirit is the measure of your preparedness to meet the Lord. That's it. The Lord is coming. What should I be doing? Go about your business, but be serious about everything of God. That's all. He just wants to meet you prepared. If he comes while you are alive or he meets you at death, you are ready. He doesn't stop your business. How about the wisdom of the wise virgin? They did only one thing. One thing. They took the matter seriously. They were prepared to meet their Lord. They were diligent and left nothing to chance. They've been called to a great wedding feast with the privilege of being the bridesmaids, and they made their calling and election sure. See what Peter said. Therefore, brethren, even more be diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Prepare to meet your Lord. Don't be a foolish virgin. Be wise. Be wise. Let us pray. Oh, merciful Father, we are all born foolish, slow, dull to your things. We hate your word. We killed your son. And graciously, you've brought us to a place where our heart has been changed and your gospel has come. Oh, help us, oh Lord, to make our calling and election sure. Help us to be diligent, to add to our faith virtue. Knowledge, brotherly love, patience, and all these things that you've mentioned. We ensure that we do our bit to be alert. Thank you for your blessings. You have written these things for us. As you said in your word, that all these things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, with the patience of scriptures, can possess our souls. Oh, give us the patience, the endurance to tarry, to stay with your word and pray that you make it happen in our heart. Oh, help us to fish ourselves out now before you come. Help us to be ready. Help us to call our wives and our husbands and our children and make them ready, like Job would do, like Abraham would do. And those who are single, that they will pick up themselves and be ready. Help us to take everything you seriously, to grow in your knowledge, to pray. Thank you, merciful Father. Be with us, O Lord, as we continue to worship before you. Help us to think of these things and many more from your word. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.